my name is Christian Basil. Years ago, I had an idea. I got myself a TARDIS. Took it to new places, met a lot of new people, took some great pictures, and talked Doctor Who. From Krypton Radio and the creators of the Hanging With web show, this is the legend of the traveling TARDIS. Join me on my latest adventures and become part of the legend.
Hello, fellow Whovians, and now I gotta take this one off because I'm gonna start the show just as well as Christian does. Am I off? Am I on? Where am I? I'm gone. I can't make it work. I have really started the show just as well as Christian. This is awful. This is awful. That's amazing. The background. I don't want the background. I want
amazing.
There we go. There it is. Oh, there. And then Melody turns it off, and I turn it back on. Hello, fellow Whovians. My name is not Christian Basil, despite how clean that opening was. My name is Dave Chapman. I am stepping in. Christian has given me the keys to the TARDIS, and end one, he's in the audience watching and making fun of me and regretting it. So let's take a look at everyone else that's here. I suppose it makes sense. Today's topic, you know what? Today's topic, it really does make sense. We are going off the rails, and we are starting off the rails. So let's do this. Let's introduce everybody that we're here. We're going to go kind of crazy today. Let's start with the absolutely lovely ladies to my side. Let's start with Melanie. I got both of them up. It's great. I have two lovely ladies next to me.
Well, I'm so used to Christian saying lovely ladies and then going right to Mark. So I'm just...
I am going to attempt to do better segues than Christian.
I'm disappointed.
All right. So hello, everyone. Welcome to The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS, where on this particular episode... If you've already seen the thumbnail, it's called Off the Rails. So any other time that you've watched this and we've gone on tangents, and you know me, I've done a lot, many Star Wars themed tangents. That's what this episode is. This is we didn't have a title. So let's just go ahead and go with the flow. Who wants to come on tonight? And, your chats are extremely welcome tonight, for show topics. And you're going to help drive the TARDIS here while Christian's away. We're all going to play.
And before we went live, but what did you ask all of us, except for Mark, who showed up literally as the credits were rolling?
Yeah,
did you ask us all?
I already forgot.
You asked us what the over under was on Christian being in the
in
there. And
yeah, on Christian.
Ding, 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 ding. There he is. Hello, Christian.
It's the I'm tired. You don't want a break. I'm gonna getting burned out. Blah blah blah, which is absolutely understandable. Everybody should practice self care when that comes. When you need a break, take your mental health breaks. Except when you're Christian Basil, who's just gonna be here anyway.
Well, he's probably on the couch, relaxing in his pajamas.
He's watching this on his TV.
Exactly. Well, so let's introduce the other lovely lady, Willa Schuyler.
Hi.
How you doing, Willa?
So they brought me on because this is a perfect show for me to be on. Going completely off topic, I'm no stranger to going off topic off my show. So this is fun. I love this.
It's true. I've been on your show and it's perma off rails. There's no
really
rails.
On Sunday we had a subject and we maybe touched on it for maybe 5 minutes.
That's good. That's why we don't have a topic. We can't get off. What do you think about that, James? Instead of slowing him, I took him out of the stream. There we go.
You think about that, James? Smack.
Yeah. Hi, I'm James Enstall of Geek to Me Radio, and I was voted in high school most likely to go off topic. So this is the perfect show for me. I'm excited.
to go off topic. Here we go.
I love it. I love it. And last but not least, Mr. Mark Muncy is back.
Yes, back. And happy National UFO Day. I thought it was going to be UFO topics, so I'm wearing my tinfoil hat.
Realize that.
Why are you all not wearing yours? Are you under the control of the mind control lasers? I guess. Fine. So I figured. Yeah, I got, there it is.
And it's something it under here. I'm good.
Okay. But no,
just dumb water. I got all my alien stuff out. That's weird.
There you go.
Dumb luck.
I currently have my bubblegum leaf.
We're all prepped, yeah. And I have an army of books to my side on every subject known to man, so, whatever we go off topic on, I'm ready for. Are we ready to talk the book, The Great Secret Book of Egyptian Gnostics? I figure that'll be good for our topic today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
Sure.
Well, we've got a lot of research. So,
James, you definitely need to speak up or pull your mic a little.
Does that help?
A little bit?
I would fiddle with your controls to see whether or not your computer mic was reset when you came in to the show. Where you'll be on one, and then like you'll have your microphone set, and then you jump into StreamYard, and it's like, oh yeah, we just decided to default you back to the one that's built into your PC, Mac, or what other type of UFO ear alienware to help.
Help
is Mark that better out. Now? I've just increased the volume.
Getting a little bit better, yeah.
A little better, a little pretty faint. Yeah.
Just start shouting.
Project.
Just shout.
We're trying to keep your macro to hear.
Yes.
We're trying to keep the dog all sedate, so it's yellow. Makes sense.
Working on keeping the dog calm, but we'll yell. He'll be fine. He's a chihuahua. He shakes anyway. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You got it, Ramona. Heck yeah.
Well, and if you want to just go up, we'll start with Ramona's spoiler, because she already spoiled it for us right off the bang.
Well, nobody in Facebook would have seen.
We hadn't got to it yet. It's true. We just hadn't got to it yet. Our little bit of Who Knew news. Jodie Whittaker is pregnant. She just announced it at the BET Awards. Showing off her bump. I got to say, the neatest thing is not even the baby bump with this outfit.
It's the
sleeves. You can't. It's the sleeve. Well, okay, the dice purse is awesome.
Oh, come on, I was like, you're not looking at that damn bag.
Those sleeves
totally
are full of styrofoam balls that just kind of crawl up the outer sleeve. Very nice. It's hard to see in that picture, but it's actually really kind of cool.
Her dresses would just sit there and just spin around, around, around in, because it'd probably go make me feel like a bell. I don't know, but I like that old bag looking like a dice. A dice.
Put a pair of tights on, and I'd be good to go for wearing that around.
I like the shoes, too. Those big and clunky, chunky ones. The 90s are back. Okay, what did you just bring back, Dave?
Oh.
What's in the box? I don't know what's in the box. As we were getting ready to go on, my doorbell went off. And I have a pretty good idea what this is. But if it is a not Doctor Who game, although we're going to be doing a Doctor Who game box opening sometime in probably 2 weeks, we'll find out. Yes. Possibly next
week.
It kind of depends on what time it shows up. Yes, it's supposed to show up right around the same time I leave for a week. So we're going to open it. Look, I just want to point
random boxes, and it's some Kickstarter you forgot about from 3 years ago, finally shipping.
I'd like to also point out, look, Christian, this is how you show off a box.
I was going to make that comment. How do you do an unboxing? You show everybody your mailing address repeatedly over many times. We are just going,
I even got a personalized note.
This is awesome.
This is from
did it have hugs and
people
kids?
Who make blinks. It has his phone number, but it does not have hugs and kisses.
You have the means to contact for those. Ooh,
this is also a really neat pack.
I love those packaging. Yeah. It's easier to recycle.
It is. That's gorgeous. Squishy. So this is from Blink 38, or Move 38, sorry, who make Blinks. And Blinks are little hexagon pieces, and each of these has a game on it.
Wait, what?
Each of these has a game on it, and you use that and program the rest of these to be game pieces.
Okay, program.
So they sent me a bunch of stuff. RF technology, I think, is how they transmit it. Possibly a more direct thing, but they are also the next generation ones, and these may or may not be the next gen ones. They're coming out with a Kickstarter anytime now that includes a new app, so you can take your phone. And just go boop, add the game here, and program everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Nifty.
So I am like super stoked to crack into these. I've been waiting for these for a while, and they showed up. Nice timing. Good heft to them. So there's my off topicness for now. Mark, what do you got there? You got something weird and off topic.
I've always got stuff weird and off topic. Okay, so lately I've been working with the wonderful folks at Ripley's Believe It or Not for a Discovery Channel thing that we're working on. And I get to go into the archives and find unusual things.
Oh.
And so one of the coolest things that I now have access to is this wonderful piece here. And I don't know if you can see it, but it is a giant ring with the initials JP on them. And they weren't exactly sure what this was. So that's when we had to go into the archives and figure out what the heck this giant ring was. And, well, it turned out to be from a giant man. I was able to find this. This is Johan K. Petersen, who was the strongest and tallest man in the world, born in 1913, and he got to a height of 8'8".
Whoa.
125 pounds. And what I noticed was down on this finger over here.
He's wearing the ring?
Pinky is the ring. And
so
we were able to figure it out. And that's his pinky. With this ring.
Yeah, it's his pinky.
On my
that's
big hand. That's his pinky finger ring.
Good.
So that's some craziness and crazy stuff. So there you go. You know, how often do you get to touch the ring of the largest man in the world for his time? And he passed not too long ago in the early 2000s. But scary, scary stuff. But when he was born, he was 8.8 pounds. So it's not terribly big. But,
that's not terribly big. No, I've heard of
that's how big he got. So all these people, oh, I had this giant baby. He's going to be huge. No, you have no idea.
Did they say what they were feeding him?
I think small children.
Large children.
Yeah, if he'd been around for Lord of the Rings movies, he would have been perfect for some of that stuff. He did do a lot of acting, which was pretty cool. I knew nothing about this guy, and suddenly I went down the rabbit hole, got to talk to some of his family members and all that. So that'll be coming out on some fun later on down the line on Discovery Plus on Road Trips with Ripley's. Keep your eyes.
Was he a contemporary of like Richard Kiel?
He knew him and all that. This guy was mostly Europe, so he didn't do much in the U.S.
Okay.
A lot of his movies were, like this one, which was from Turkey, and that's from that postcard again. And this is just crazy. But he did a lot of stuff. And now all his clothes had to be handmade, of course.
Of course.
When you think about that whole costume, except for his handkerchief, he liked to point out that he had monogrammed handkerchiefs that were made by a professional.
I thought in that picture that lady was just standing well behind him, so she
to
him.
That's,
right.
That's his
insane.
Wife.
Wow,
that's his wife, and she's like 5'4", I think. And that's a cute
couple.
On the
tinier side.
Yes, that's
already
such a great couple. So, wow.
We're thrilled. I'm not going there. No. Willow, you can take this up on Pillow Talk.
Yeah.
That is definitely, I got to keep you in mind for being on my show because, I definitely want to know more about this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's, like I said, you go through those archives and every box, there's all these boxes and you're like, what's in the box? Like you were saying. And it's like,
you have to do it like seven. Come on, man.
It's like, oh, shrunken head. Okay. What's this one?
Are these archives located? They're located
in an undisclosed location in Central Florida that may or may not be near a mouse.
That's very cool. Because I know a lot of the Ripley's are gonna, they're gonna have their own little museums everywhere. Because I'm more familiar with the one in St. Augustine than anything. Right. So, and I remember, when you had the Ripley's Believe It or Not, not only the original, like when Palance was hosting it, but after that, I think Dean Kay was hosting it a little bit, and that they would go to the same different museums, and I would kind of think, oh, I remember seeing that one at the St. Augustine, and so I was kind of wondering, do they? It's neat to know that they do have them in another secure location where they can, probably move their museum.
And it's some crazy stuff. I mean, a lot of it's wax, where they keep the wax dummies because they constantly rotate out the wax figures.
Yeah.
But that because they're also Madame Tussauds. They own Madame Tussauds now.
So I did not know that.
They also have all that. So there's a whole section of this warehouse that is nothing but, heads and bodies and things like that. And it's crazy. You're walking in a room and, there was suddenly, you know, Elvis and Elvis Costello. Oh, of course they would be stored next to each other. But then, they've got, you know, the random artifacts of just who knows what. And while I was there, they got a box, and it was this giant box, and they're like, and they opened that up, and it was the fingernails from the lady with the longest fingernails in the world who finally cut them a few years ago, and sent them a big giant box of long fingernails that went from her hand to the floor.
That's like the curl.
Yes.
When you start.
So this was the fingernails, and they were like, "Well, I guess we got to make an exhibit for that." So, you know, yep, rat hole merch mug. There you go.
For the record, it's a one of a kind. I didn't think anyone else would want one, so I got one for myself.
But so you know, and then in the same day, they got their most expensive artifact they've ever gotten, which was in a special carrier they'd gotten from a collector they'd bought, and they have it in their vault, in their air conditioned, perma sealed vault, and it's a dress, and it is the dress Marilyn Monroe wore for the Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
So that, and then on the shelf next to it, speaking of Star Wars, was one of the screen used lightsabers from Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back, and signed by John Dykstra with the letter of authenticity and all that.
Oh, my goodness.
And what they were piecing together with that was we were able to see the actual graphics logo on the flashbulb from the old camera. That the original graphics camera came from, and you could still see that on there. They'd never, you know, cleaned it up or anything. It's just partially obscured and all
you
that.
You know, Mark, my birthday is coming up in a couple months. If you want to just slip something
just
over,
head over there. Museum. Just go to the museum. Say, hey, I heard you got this thing, and I got $50.
You know, hey, Mark, I'm sure you got this a lot, but are any of the stuff that you have haunted?
Oh, you know, that's not this stuff that I have here, because this was. This is all nice and, you know, these were all at that museum. I'm sure they've got plenty of things that have some unusual stuff. Let's see. Dan said, what, the Sherlock Holmes Museum down the street from Massachusetts? They probably did, because they provide a lot of wax museum dummies from all over the world. They contact Madame Tussauds. There's another wax museum coming as a rival. I can't remember their name off the top of my head, but it's one of those two. 90% of all the wax museums, but haunted stuff. Yeah, I got haunted stuff here somewhere. I could probably get stuff out. Just give me some time. That's my day job, is Erie, Florida. You know, going to the weird and unusual places. So, I got some rocks. That
so
are
apparently, I have already liked your page, and so I'm definitely going to keep that on the back burner to make sure that I keep checking back.
Glad to. I can.
You
go
don't do any cryptids and weird stuff. Not at all. No.
No, not at all. It's not like I just finished a new book called Erie Appalachia, which will be out this fall from the History Press, and went to the editors January 1st, and has more illustrations from my wife than all three of our previous books combined.
Oh wow! Oh sweet.
So, there are so many monsters on the Appalachian Trail.
When do you think you'll start having books? Will you have them like in time for MegaCon or Tampa Bay?
It's probably July or August. So we know we're going to have them for Mothman Festival, and we'll probably have them for the later conventions, you know, Spooky Empire in the fall and all that. But we're doing a lot of North conventions now because of this. So fingers crossed, Dragon Con, we're finding out this week. So
I know they had opened their applications up, so I'm like...
If you're up in like Saginaw, Michigan at the very last week of July, they've got a little 2-day convention going on there that I'll be at. And Mackenzie will probably be at.
Nice.
OxiCon.
Right.
Oh, okay.
OxiCon. It's put on by Deepwater Games, Oxi Media.
Awesome. Yeah, we're doing Mothman Festival and Cryptid Con in Kentucky. Cryptid Bash in Tennessee, and I've done a lot of paranormal cons this year, which is
I need to have you on Cryptid Crunch.
Yeah, that's my crowd.
I'll be messaging you later about being on Cryptid Crunch. And,
do we have to do commercials for this particular
let's go to commercial. Yeah, you, do you want to run commercials?
Do
you
want me to, for 20 minutes.
You want to do them or you want me to? You run commercials. Okay. Well, then I will do that. And when we come back, we'll bring up James's question to the panel and let James answer James's question to the panel, because, you know, why not? Let's go to their video clips. And we're going to go commercial break. And here we go.
Jackie Sonnenberg's My Soul to Keep is a ghost story rooted in the realities of actual cults. When 13-year-old Skye Monroe arrives at her new boarding school, all she can think about is death and connecting with the afterlife. Soon, she discovers her school's spirituality group, the Guardians of Light, and they have a secret. They can speak with the dead, and the organization is a cult. But this isn't Skye's only problem. The campus house where Skye resides is haunted, and even the ghosts have an agenda. They intend on getting the souls they want. Filled with mystery and intrigue plucked straight from the headlines, author Jackie Sonnenberg's research and attention to detail give this ghost story an even more eerie atmosphere. Find My Soul to Keep on Amazon.com today.
Oh, brilliant! It's hard to believe that in the 56-year history of the greatest sci-fi television show in the English language, there has never been a fan guide to Doctor Who. The official books might give you what they think you need to know, but only a guide written by a true fan will give you what you really want to know. Join Whovian, the brilliant Mackenzie Flohr, as she takes you on an intensive journey inside the world of the first female Doctor. In the Binge Watcher's Guide to Doctor Who, Season 11. Right, let's get a shift on.
So I'm not going to run the next commercial, but I wanted to say a couple words. We have all, this StreamYard has been run by Rajan. And for those of you who are on the air, you got it kind of announced mid-show. And about to Meredith, one of those fine humans that run Rajan, passed away. So we want to just give a really big thank you. Nita's still running this StreamYard for the moment. But I don't know what's going on with their show. So I didn't want to run their commercial, but I really want to say thank you and send all of my heartfelt wishes and condolences and everything to everybody and to the members of our cast, because I didn't know Meredith very well, but I know a lot of our crew did. So I just wanted to
I vote that you run that it out there, because they're still going to have the content out there. Run it.
Okay, then I will run it.
Run it.
Okay, I can do that. If I can get back to it. There it is.
Hey there. This is Meredith Loughran with Rajan, and I wanted to let you know that we encourage and promote independent creators and their projects through organic interaction, consultations, and more. Visit Nita and me at RajanABC.com for details and contact information.
Hit the button.
And there we go. So thank you, Nita. And we're back. And oh my goodness. Do I need to go get my hat collection out? Is that what we're going on for now?
We're going down rabbit holes. I just thought I'd throw on a different hat. Yeah. So
that's fair. That's fair.
Hats. I apologize in advance. I didn't know hats would be required.
Well, otherwise, you got to stare at the gray hair. And I just figured this is better. So, and it's because Dave wears hats like all the time. And I felt left out. So.
Okay, I'll go do that. I'm gonna go get more hats, and James can start with this panel question. What piece of history / pop culture memorabilia do you wish you could own?
Oh, let's see. The screen worn stuff is always usually out of my price range, but I would love. I know that just went up for auction. I feel like in the past couple of years, they just auctioned off a screen worn version of the Christopher Reeve Superman suit from the original 1978 Superman movie. I feel like that, or Adam West's original screen-worn Batman utility belt, something like that, that's that iconic pop culture that you know was used during a filming of a TV show or movie. I think I'd have to go with something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's reasonable. Let's randomly... All right, because we're doing it. So, Willow, what would you like?
Oh, so many things. Because I'm in a car I love classic cars. I'm gonna have to say the '66 Batmobile. You know, Ecto-1 definitely is on that list as well. My husband actually has a Dodge Monaco, and I want it so bad to make the Bluesmobile, but he won't let me have it. So there's got to be a way that I can convince him to let me have it.
Nice.
Acceptable. Unacceptable, husband.
Nice hat.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Both of you.
Now the only person who's not wearing a hat.
I wrap my hair around my neck like a scarf. I have way too much hair for a hat.
I'm gonna go get.
Hold on a second.
All right, I know it. I have a feeling I know what you're gonna do. So I'll just pop over here and just adjust mine.
Yeah, I love it. It's very fetching.
My jackalope mini fez from Fezzorama. I was gonna get my hat collection. I gotta.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm not gonna really be able to do anything though.
I have had. Yeah.
We can see. The funny thing is, none of the other people in the panel can. Oh no, you can see. You should be able. I don't think you guys can see her right now.
No,
I can.
I think
extra. No, that's extra funny. As for me, I don't know. All of the Doctor Who FASA old role playing games. I think that'd just be kind of cool. I come from a family of pack rats, and people have been trying to train me out of memorabilia.
Trying
because
to.
I just acquire stuff. It's what I do.
Right.
Quite literally what I do.
Which of the faster role playing games did you need?
All of them.
which one did you need, Lord?
Yeah.
The animated cover or the photo cover, or do you need the board game?
So. We'll take all of them, and if you suddenly disappear in the bayou somewhere, I call dibs.
Okay.
And we'll go to the best hat of the group now.
Yes! Nice. Oh my gosh, yes!
Love it. The sad thing is I'm holding it up because my headset is now underneath here.
I didn't hear you. So, what piece of pop culture memorabilia would you like?
Oh, good lord. One, can you hear me okay? Because it's very... echoing.
We can hear you better than we can hear James.
Okay, so so I have a tendency of loving watching stuff from Prop Store. I walk at the auctions from Profiles in History, like going to Comic-Con, so I see all this kind of stuff all the time. At one point, a little show that ended called Lost had some, you know, things for auction, and I remember my husband and I actually put up, or we bid on, like, John Locke's costume, we bid on the hatch, because I was going to put it in my backyard. The one that I wish that I could have gotten but got away was the, if you're familiar with the TV show Lost, the submarine. We were trying to bid on the submarine. We wanted a submarine because I have a lake in the back, and I would have put that out there as a floating dock. So that's the one that got away. But honestly, if I could have like a screen used, anything from Star Wars, any lightsaber, I mean, there's so many things that I would murder over. But I'll just
you want Mandalorian helmet. I want any Mandalorian helmet. Yeah.
Well, quite frankly, let's just put me back like this. I'll wear like a hat like right
there.
Quite frankly, I am working on my own Mando costume right now. So, yeah, this can completely turn into a cosplay thing. So, working on two cosplays at the same time, but one of them is my own Mando. It's not the Mandalorian. It's not Din Djarin, but it's going to be a Mandalorian. That's a Twi'lek. So, I'm working on the helmet now.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I'm also doing a version of Mother Talzin, which means I bought the contacts, the whiteout contacts that Mark has. Mm. So I just got those in. I have to do a test.
It's surprising how well those you can see through those. People always think, oh my gosh, you must not see it. No, fine.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I got the ones with my prescription in them. So I'm like, woo, yeah. I cannot wait. I'm going to be like Mark.
Yes. Yeah. They're pretty awesome. So I think if I had to one piece of movie memorabilia or television memorabilia, it would have to be something for Buckaroo Banzai. I'd love the jet car. The bus would be nice, just so I'd have a bus.
Yeah.
But not, you know, and the jet car never. I think I'd settle for just the oscillation overthruster, a little thing that you know would become the flux capacitor and the later on and a bunch of other things. But that would be just something simple that would be cool like that. I've got my Battlestar Galactica blaster, which was my other, you know, my Starbuck sidearm, but again, I have a replica. Screen used would be nice, but I know those are locked away in the Universal vaults.
Yeah. So, but, I had a friend that had a lot of prop guns from the movie Ice Pirates, which I thought was pretty good.
One of the best movies of all time.
Yes. And that one was always just a huge treat. Whenever I went over to his house, I saw them.
It has not aged the best in some areas, but it is an awesome movie still.
Yeah.
So, a little cringy in parts, but still good. It was the 80s. It was loud.
Small, I think. You guys are talking about the bigger stuff. I will now change my answer to the Aston Martin DB5 with all the tricked out stuff that James Bond used in Goldfinger.
There you go. Let's go big.
I think that is the most valuable movie car of
probably,
all time.
I think it has to be just the cost of the actual car alone, not to mention all the gadgetry put in.
There is, you can see it in Orlando.
Oh, really?
There is a car museum in Orlando that has like the largest movie car collection. You guys are talking about all your movie cars. I cannot remember. It's a private collection, but it's now opened as a museum.
Oh, wow.
And he has a whole Bond wing, and he has the Lotus. He has the Aston. He has all, and he's got the OGs, and that is the heaviest guarded room in the entire collection. I was just having that Black Beauty from the original Green Hornet.
Yeah. You
know, I'm like, yeah. So again,
those are good choices.
Get some wax figures in there. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
I remember seeing a golden ticket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory at San Diego Comic Con. I want to say that was Prop Store. It was either Prop Store or Profiles in History. Both of those. If you've never been on their websites, take a look. See, that stuff always comes. That stuff does go to auction.
Rabbit hole. Do you guys remember the Hollywood Studios when it was still MGM Studios? They had the prop shop.
Yes.
Right, as you walked in, that had screen use stuff that was not expensive. And it was because it was the days before the internet, so you could afford these things. I bought a Tron Frisbee.
Oh, wow.
That was used in Tron for $75. And it was a Frisbee that had just been all the Frisbee stuff filed off, and it was painted glow in the dark.
Oh, my God.
And I bought that for $75. I wound up selling it to pay rent 1 year for almost $3,000. I was really hurting. I hated selling it. And I know now it's worth like tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Still,
at least it was a decent return on your investment. But
I can't complain. It's you take what you get.
I remember that.
Getting higher than that, but who knew?
Yeah, because I remember the prop store, the little prop area that was also just like the stuff that wasn't for sale, but then they had the saleable stuff right next to, the tram ride that was all the stunt.
Yeah.
I can't remember the backstage tour. Yeah, backstage tour. I remember seeing one of the Christopher Reeves Spider-Man capes. They had that there for a long time.
Yeah, it was Sid Kavanaugh's, I think, or Sid Kawingi. Had a weird name, and it was just this crazy shop. And I used to go in all the time because it was different every time you went. I worked there at the time, and it was just like, oh, I get my employee discount on this. Awesome. Oh,
wow. I changed my answer. I know what I want now.
Oh.
I want, because I don't think it's for sale, but I want it. I remember it. I'm going to call it Disney Hollywood Studios before they tore everything out for Galaxy's Edge and, you know, the Toy Story Land. They had a lot of the old ride vehicle or a lot of prop stuff. The Flight of the Navigator spaceship was back there for the longest time. And I don't know where it is now. And I want that.
It is in Tomorrowland.
Ooh.
It's in Tomorrowland? They moved it?
Yep. You would not recognize it. You take the people mover around Tomorrowland, and on top of the ice cream stand, you'll see this weird-looking spaceship.
That's where they put it.
They did it. They painted it and turned it backwards.
Oh!
And that's it, though. That's the Flight of the Navigator.
And it's an original round shape. It's not in its, you know, when it would stretch out and fly.
It's the same one that was in the back lot. They just put it there. And it, actually, if you go around, if you take the people mover, you can see the door still.
Oh! Because my favorite part was like when I was doing a lot of marathons, one of the marathons you would run through at the time MGM, and they would always run past it, and I'd always like hit it, to tap it when I like kissed it, because I was like just so happy to be next to it.
Yeah.
So do you guys think the Stargate can fit behind me?
Oh, huh? There you go.
Oops.
The Stargate
one action.
I think we could find one.
All right, Dave, here you go for your role-playing history. What game inspired Stargate? Even had a lawsuit against the Stargate producers. Even though the movie came out and the two names of the main characters were the two sample characters from the role-playing game. And they still lost the lawsuit.
Which game?
Games, and the game was called Fringeworthy. And it's about military going through a Stargate that they found in Egypt going to alternate dimensions. And if you look at stuff fringe-worthy from 1970s, and it is exactly Stargate SG-1.
Huh. Oh, wow.
And the poor guy who made that, Richard Tuchulka, died nearly penniless. Wow. So, and he sued several times and never got any credit for it.
So. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Yeah. Way to bring everything down.
You're
Mark.
Welcome. Hey, bunny trail. You never know what you're going to hit.
That's good to know.
On a brighter side, the actual Stargate, the current Stargate role-playing game, when you guys go to a convention and see these guys, they have, I think it's 40% or 50% sized, still 10 feet tall Stargate at their booth that you can go take pictures of, and it's got like a shimmery background and everything. Yeah. So that you could at least get the shimmery background behind you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could fit the whole thing.
I'll have to do that. Yeah. I'm in the process of creating my, my green screen.
You could do it.
I have green fabric,
on Amazon. You can find the background nowadays.
Yeah.
Cheap-ish. Okay. How many hats is people going to be putting on? I'm going to get my Boba Fett one.
I did not go and grab the ones from the front door.
That's where my Columbia Boba Fett hat is.
I'll have to wait till
I want a Boba Fett fez.
Oh man!
There's a company that does a lot of really goofy, geeky fezes, like leather nerd gear, and they've got it's a Boba Fett helmet as a fez.
Nice.
So it's a Boba Fez.
Oh. And James is getting knocked out of the stream.
Yeah.
James was on it.
Yeah, okay.
Look at that right in the comments.
The James is all thinking a lot. And on that note, I think maybe we'll just go to commercial because there's just no way to follow that.
No.
Oh, good.
Nope.
I think that seems like a reasonable thing to do. So we'll do that because, you know, we always come back to us in here. And I'm not nearly as, you know, just Christian, so
meet the Doctor.
I'm the Doctor.
But not the one you were expecting.
All right, sexy. It's time to go home.
Doctor Who Velocity, streaming now.
This is Cosplay Michael with the Hang in a Club Show. I want to tell you about my friends at Embellished Effects in Orlando, Florida. They've got makeup, costumes, and props for all of your costume needs. And the team at Embellished Effects is helpful and friendly. Embellished Effects is one of my favorite places, and I know it will be yours too. I'll see you there. Or go to embellishedeffects.com. And remember, cosplay is for everyone.
The massive audio Doctor Who Bad Wolf Bluetooth TARDIS speaker. That's all I gotta say. One word. Wow. It looks like it just jumped right off the screen. Here it is in all its Bad Wolf glory. Right here is the on-off switch and the up and down volume. Right here's the speaker. The TARDIS stands about 6 inches from the bottom of the TARDIS all the way up to the top where the light is. Look at the detail. Wow.
Famous Faces and Funnies in Melbourne, Florida is leading the way in pop culture fun, from comic books and graphic novels to Funko Pops and...
You have more options than ever before when choosing a film, a television or internet series, a book to curl up with, or even a radio show or podcast. Get to know the people who are creating for you. The Hangin' With Web Show, hosted by award-winning author and journalist G.W. Pomacher, is the internet's fastest-growing web talk show series. The Hangin' With Web Show features professional, yet casual, in-depth interviews with creative arts and entertainment pros. Meet the people behind a digital revolution in creating more quality content than ever before in the history of media. Find the Hangin' With Web Show on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, or simply go to www.hanginwithshow.com. That's www.hanginwithshow.com.
You know what my favorite part of that commercial is? Baby Christian. Little baby Christian there is playing, doing Ed McMahon, and he's just, it's adorable.
Yep.
And we'll have to go through and look at it. Five, six.
I so have hat envy right now. I don't have any of my other hats with me.
Cobra!
And Melody has no mail.
Only Cobra has decided to destroy the weather.
Oh, good lord.
No, that's not happening. That's fogging too much.
Yeah.
I say that, you know. I couldn't stay underneath Wrecker for too long.
Oh, that was crazy. Yep. This will be better. So, my Ripley's
Tom, out. You clearly now here's how when you know that Tom did not tune in at the beginning of the show. So we all look at Tom and go, Tom was late. Because we already talked about that. But he's here, so this is great, and we're happy everybody's here watching us, because we are completely off the rails, as the episode title would insinuate.
Questions.
Yes, we'll throw some more questions. So here's a question, while Melanie looked for other questions. Book of Boba Fett. Spoiler alert.
One, are you going to talk about spoilers? If so, how recent? Let people know before you begin.
Yeah, that's why I'm stopping.
Tomorrow is the finale. We're on the precipice of a finale.
I have heard a breaking theory that Boba Fett might actually cameo in the last episode of Book of Boba Fett. So we'll see.
Yes, I've heard of that meme. I haven't actually seen it, but yes, that was kind of. I loved the last two episodes. We'll stay as vague as possible because there are a lot of people here. But the first three episodes, I really, really enjoyed. I enjoyed what they were doing there. I know there was some people who were like, but I thought it was a great take on everything. And then the last two episodes, which were brilliant episodes, and I understand why everybody went about them, but they didn't fit. I love that they're there, but I really didn't feel like it was like when. Does anyone remember when NCIS had their backdoor pilot on JAG?
No.
Melanie, have you ever seen JAG?
Nope.
So JAG was a law room procedural, right? Mm-hmm. It was a straight laced military lawyer show, and then they backdoor piloted in NCIS.
Okay.
Which is completely like not 180 theme, but it's a pretty hard twist. It felt like that, other than the fact that we know it wasn't a backdoor pilot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, these things have been going on since forever. I mean, look at Happy Days, Mork and Mindy, and all the spinoffs from that. I mean, it even goes back to the Andy Griffith Show and all the spinoffs from that. I mean, it's just it's all about building universes now, and it's become we're full circle back to that. So. I do love that.
Don't get me wrong.
A long story, and I think if they had done that, if they hadn't called it what it's called, and just said, "Hey, this is just one big story," and keep writing,
Flux, a season title.
I tend to point out the fact that we did not know we were getting Book of Boba Fett.
No,
nobody knew we were getting Book of Boba Fett until we were watching the very end of Mandalorian, and all of a sudden we're getting this last stinger. We're like, "Oh, this is cool!" And then it's, "Oh, he's going to return in Book of Boba Fett," and just everyone's kind of like, "Wait, what? We're getting more? What do you mean we're getting more?" And then from at that point, Filoni and Favreau coming out and saying, "This Book of Boba Fett basically is Mandalorian 2.5.
Yeah,
we're getting an extra little in between thing, extra bonus stuff." So for all the gatekeeping fans that jump in there like, this is why it's called Book of Boba. They're like, you just got to complain about something, don't you? You just got to find something to bitch about.
My only complaint was the low speed chase with the Power Rangers kids. That was my only thing.
I was hoping that would be shot a little faster. And especially when you saw the train. With the little train heist, I thought that was
and we've seen how fast speeders can go. Why is this thing going 12 miles an hour in the Bronco?
Because they're Vespas.
Because they're mods of little Vespas.
Yeah,
they ain't gonna go fast.
I was all right. So now the question is: were they more Power Rangers or more Captain Planet? What are you? What is your opinion on the Boba Fett's goon squad?
I felt more Power Ranger-y.
It was a close call. By their powers combined, they could summon Boba Fett, maybe. I don't know. It was very...
They looked like they visited a 1950s kitchen appliance store and kind of cobbled together some stuff. So that was just my take.
I still really want a Smeg brand toaster. I don't care about the rest of the appliances. Just a Smeg brand toaster and I'm happy.
There you go. But no, I enjoyed it. It was such an off take from the rest of the show. That was the only thing that really took me out of it.
That's my only complaint about it.
Elves are called mods, and then they were mod culture back in the 60s and of the UK mod culture. So I liked how the layers of okay, we're going to have a biker gang, but we're going to have it like with these. My only thing was like, I'm kind of in this, you can't afford food, you can't afford water. How the hell are you getting the dust off these things? You live on a dust planet. Of just nothing but just that was the only thing that my own little person. I'm like, how do you get that girl looking so good? I can't take my bike out without it looking like crap real quick. And I'm in Florida. You go outside, it's humid. It's like stuff just kind of sheens off itself.
Yes, Andy Griffith was a spinoff from the Danny Thomas show. Yep, they're all spinoffs, man. That's right, Dan. Everything's a spinoff.
Yeah, nobody likes to the show,
but thank you for making me feel less old, Tom. Thank you for making me feel less old.
Nobody likes to use the word spinoff anymore. It's better. It's more evil to say backdoor pilot
or connecting worlds. Yeah, world building.
That's no, because the show is a spinoff. But they put the pilot in the middle of of another show. That is that is not the same thing as a spinoff. Spinoff is what comes later.
Yeah,
like so they are definitely two things. Yeah.
Which is definitely awesome. No. If you haven't watched that, that's great. I think it was something along those lines.
Mando seems like they're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I think
Melanie's right. It was like 2.5. Let's throw this in to keep everybody happy till we get 3 off the ground.
Well, even Ming-Na Wen went on to record saying that she did not know that she was going into another show. She thought she was going into film for Mandalorian. So everything here has been extremely one on the hush hush and being very quiet, because bless the producers of this, that they know that their own fan base that they're trying to sell to is got its own little toxic history of being very, very possessive of the brand, which
they taught Holland proof. Calm down.
Yeah. So there's. So I can see where it's like to read James's question, because remember, guys, this is also a podcast. We have to read these things.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Is there a budget issue or something?
Is there a budget issue
for Mando 3? So they had to fit something into Boba to appease the Mando fans.
I just wondered if they weren't trying to move some stuff along so they can start Mandalorian season 3 and say, okay, we already know what happened with Grogu. Here's where the story picks up now, why he has a new ship. They don't have to get into any of that. And just hit the ground running for season 3. Yep. I figured.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That seems really reasonable. Yeah.
I really do feel that a lot of this has been built in the storytelling of Filoni looking at Clone Wars. Because if you think of Clone Wars, if you think of other kind of episodic, long episodic kind of television stuff, there's different arcs within there. That during the Umbara arc for Clone Wars, you didn't see any of the Jedis really. Mm-hmm. Except Pon Krell, which was, but really that was a clone based episode. That was the whole thing was clones for that entire arc. So you could say, it's Clone Wars, but then there's other Clone Wars episodes where you did not have any clones showing up once ever. Heck, I know there's episodes where I'm like, oh God, here's Padme. We're going to have a Senate episode. Oh, I lied. It's a whole arc on the Senate. This'll be fun. You didn't see a damn clone in it in the Clone Wars. So you're going to have these little kind of mini arcs, but they do push the overarching, the overreaching story. And I think you're going to have that type, that style of storytelling in what we're seeing. So yes, the Mandalorian, most of it was Din Djarin, but we had episodes that were just Boba Fett heavy. Heck, the one with Bill Burr, and I just forgot the character's name because my brain just went, that was more about him than anything. You do have a little bit of Din take his mask off the first time, all that kind of stuff. But really, that was a Bill Burr heavy episode, So
here's a question for you guys. Do you guys like the fact that we're seeing a lot more behind the scenes look at the Mandos as opposed to having all these Jedi oriented story arcs?
Yes, 100%. Give me the bat. Give me the down and dirty. I'm tired of the guys in the clean robes with the sword.
Yes. Yeah, and I also think it's fascinating that they're also showing off the fact that this is Death Watch. This isn't just everybody. Leighton fans were just okay. Boba Fett was wearing Mandalorian armor. Okay, Boba Fett was that, and then he's wearing his father's Mandalorian armor. And then you keep going back in the comics. You can go through the Bounty Hunter series. You can go through all this stuff to get into the background, and then realize
holiday special.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. But you can go into it and realize that all the different Mandalorians had different clans. A lot of them believe, I mean, heck, just go into the lore of the Darksaber and how people are slowly learning about that. People who've never watched the Clone Wars are now going, well, who's Bo-Katan? Well, what do you mean that did you win it in Creed? Well, what does that mean? Da, 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 da. And now as they're going back, they can look at the armor and go, why does she have spikes on her helmet?
Yep.
Well, that was because somebody else held that Darksaber for a while.
Are you guys reading the current... I'm sorry.
No, go for it, because the answer is yes.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, are any of you reading the current Star Wars comics from Marvel? Bounty Hunters, Dr. Aphra, any of the current
stuff? Yeah. I just got I got the last two books of, I think it's 3 and 4 of Aphra.
Okay.
So,
nice. But it's especially the main Star Wars thing has been a lot of fun because it's just filling in that whole gap between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Because we had the War of the Bounty Hunters, which Shadows of the Empire kind of did, but this is like more detail. And they're bringing in stuff from Solo. They brought in Kira from Solo. So if you're not reading it right now, I can't recommend highly enough the Marvel Star Wars books that are out there.
And the cool thing now with Book of Boba Fett is that they're starting to pull the stuff with they deemed legends, where anything that became, they said, this is no longer canon. Somehow they're trying to pull some of that back in to say, look, this stuff was amazing. We don't want to just say wipe the slate and off it goes, but maybe we can pull a little bit of it right now. Thrawn.
But to answer Dan's question there, I would definitely appreciate if I could have like a physical copy of these shows, because you know, I don't want to jinx it, but how long are streaming services going to be around before they go on to the next big thing?
Has Disney Plus released any of their original content on Blu-ray yet at all? Because I don't think they've done with the Marvel series.
None of them yet.
Obviously, Rebels was pre-existing, so but I haven't seen other than Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars any of the other stuff.
They're still building their streaming audience. They feel like if they do that, it will drop. You know, they got to have the streamers. They got to build the recurring money before they can do the one shots. I guarantee you, at some point when they realize the return on investment is going to be, let's do a special edition with, you know, the four Avengers series or the three Star Wars series or something like that, they'll do a box set.
Especially when they add bonus content, like the actors talking about stuff and featurettes and things like that. If they add all that stuff, people like me will go out and buy those anyway.
Yeah.
Well, they've got those on the streaming service too, all those behind the scenes of the making of the Mandalorians and all that stuff. And
yeah.
So they're already there, you know, what the Avengers one's called, Declassified, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's even shorter than it could be. They can really get into some stuff.
I'd like to see some commentary tracks. Yeah, that's my thing.
I think it would be, as far as, you know, and I agree with Willow, as far as streaming services disappear, the only upside, or one of the few upsides, I guess, of all of these big studios coming out with their own streaming services, like, you know, Disney Plus, is that Disney's going nowhere. Even if Disney Plus disappears, Disney will still own the universe and can then just put out the DVDs. It's not like you're in the middle of watching, you know, Buffy on Netflix and it goes poof.
Yep.
I think it's another turn of Disney utilizing the vault, because they're the ones that really showed off that supply and demand kind of fun of going, you know what, we're just not going to release this anymore. It's going into the vault. And then when we unvault the Aladdin, Little Mermaid, blah, 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 it can come out again. So I think this is their own way of going streaming. We're just going to go ahead and keep everything to ourselves. And then maybe if they need a Christmas push or something like that, or keep there by making all this content that's not on DVD, that's not on Blu-ray or what have you, it's giving more and more value to the streaming services to say, okay, well, if you want to come in and you're ready to binge, then they're going to be able to bring the bingers in. Because now Disney's shown off what streaming can do with appointment viewing again. Because look, it's almost Wednesday. Is it 2 a.m. yet? Is it 2 a.m. yet? Is it 2 a.m. yet?
Look at what happened with Buffy, though, with streaming, because the originals were not made for widescreen. They were not high def. And so when they upscaled them, they made them widescreen, but you had shots with the crew on the side because they were shot, you know, 4x6, not 16x9. And then they also didn't color correct them, because when they originally uploaded, you know, filmed them, they color corrected them. And so some of them would come out and, you know, shots that were supposed to be at night and they had been, you know, the original release was dark. Suddenly it's broad daylight and there's Angel, the vampire, standing in the bright sun and nobody notices. And it's supposed to be this scary.
I miss all of that. And
it's completely gone when you're watching it on Hulu because they totally did that. So hopefully with Disney money, they can go back and do a proper release like they did Star Trek. You know, Paramount did a few years ago and all that. So
Mark's comment. And Mark, I think you're lucky to have just met Jeremy Bullock no matter what you had him sign.
Yes.
I would have loved to have met him. So I would consider yourself lucky no matter what you had him sign, just that you got the fact to meet him.
And the Edward of Wickham, totally, you know, definitely a good thing. Because, yeah. I mean, he was only in Boba Fett for a few minutes in the costume. Yeah, so, you know, honestly,
yeah.
Jeremy would have been proud that you asked him for that Edward of Wickham because that was actually him. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he was such a blast to talk to at Comic-Con, and always. he would always show off his tricks and everything that he's like, look what I can do with this coin, and it's like, he'd always have a big group around him.
Mm-hmm. Well, eons before Disney even entertained the thought of buying, George Lucas even entertained the thought of selling LucasArts, he was always at Star Wars weekends. At Disney,
and
that was one of those things where you had to get there pre rope drop to try to run to get it to the area to that they were going to give out the fast passes for the autographs, and I never got there in time ever. But I have tons and tons of photos of Mr. Bullock. I have pictures of Filoni. I have pictures of everybody.
I remember those autographs. They did the Behind the Mask tour. This was back in the early days of cons, and it was him and Peter Mayhew and David Browse and all the guys, and they had no lines because nobody knew who the hell they were, and it was so sad back then. And of course, you know, they redeemed just 10 years late when, you know, cons became huge and everything became huge and nerddom hit mainstream. But back in those days, I remember those sad cons when I was like, oh my god, it's Chewbacca, it's Darth Vader, and the people I'm with are like, no, Darth Vader's David is you know, James Earl Jones. That's not, I'm like, no, this is
how
the
dare
guy
you
in the suit.
Get out of here.
And you're like, who cares? You're not my friend anymore. Goodbye. Yeah.
So before we go into our after party, I'm going to run a couple more commercials, but because we are at that point where we have to kind of end the audio version of the show. Before we do that, though, Willow, why don't you give us a quick, where do we find you?
Okay, so you can find me with the Hanging With Web group. I'm their program director. I make all the cool little posters that tell you what shows are on each day. I also throw in some other tidbits as well with other podcasters. I'm also with the Back of the Cereal Box crew. I do Cryptid Crunch every other Sunday. We talk about monsters, cryptids, aliens, and I definitely want to have people on my show to talk about that stuff.
And you definitely have promoted. Yeah, and you've definitely promoted both Legend of Traveling Tardis in my own interviews, too. So thank you very much, Willow, for those.
You are welcome.
James, where can we find you?
So you can find me at Geek2Me Radio on Twitter and Instagram. If you go to geek2meradio.com, that's kind of the landing page for everything. We do a live radio show that broadcasts on KTRS 550 AM in the St. Louis area, but you can stream us online as well. My executive producer, Joey V, always hooks us up with videos, so you can watch us on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, but we're trying to get the YouTube subscriptions to bump over to 1K by the end of the year, so I've given myself plenty of time, but if you're watching this right now, I'd very much appreciate you going to YouTube, find Geek2Me Radio, and subscribe. We're actually going to give away a Catwoman Hunted on Blu-ray on the show live this coming Sunday for all my YouTube subscribers, so make sure you check that out.
You have my attention.
Excellent. And Mark, where can we find you?
I'm at Erie, Florida, on all the socials, or at ErieFlorida.com. And you can also find me coming soon on Erie Travels, which will be a new show from WeBeam TV. And that should be starting in March, I believe. We've already filmed the first few episodes and looks like a lot of fun. So,
excellent. And we already know where to find Melanie. We don't need to talk to her. No. Where, do we have you anywhere? What do you got going on?
It just so happens to be in an hour, a little less than an hour, I will be on another podcast, which I'm sorry I didn't have a better link that I'm just kind of showing up on the board now, which is a Facebook Live. And that's going to be Earth Station Who. I also put it in all of the messages you know, in, if you look in the chats, you can see it there too. But on Earth Station Who, we were going to be talking about romance in the TARDIS for good, the bad, the ugly. And that's going to be in an hour. So if you want to see this ugly mug, talk about more stuff, more Doctor Who-y kind of stuff. I'll be over there at 7:45, I believe, is when we're going to get ready for it. And then at like 8 o'clock, we go live. So that's where I'm going to be next. In like literally next.
Yes. When you finish watching us, you can go get ready, have a bite, and go do that. As for me, we don't need that banner. Where's mine? Where's my banner? I don't know what bars up there.
That's where you're going.
We'll do that.
That guy.
I review board games. therathole.ca/whoisallmydoctorwho board games, but since we're not talking about that, Linktree, linktr.ee/therathole.ca has all of my social medias, has my YouTube on there, with which I just subscribed to Geek to Me Radio.
Oh, thank you.
So, nice. You got that there. I'm a handful of people away from that magical number of 100, so I can get a real YouTube URL. It's like so close. Why? We never used to use it. It was a storage medium for us, so we've only just started kind of pushing that in fairly recent times. And Christian didn't meet any. What did you miss, Christian? Well, we'll come back after these messages to our after party, and we'll tell Christian what he missed, including some great questions from the audience that we can continue with.
Push the wrong. You have more options than ever.
Author Cindy Kep is writing on the edge. Books include Remnant in the Stars, The Loudest Actions, Lines of Succession, Mindstorm, Condemned Courier, The Yerushalon Series, and Animal Eye. Find author Cindy Kep at CKOEPP.com today.
Now on Amazon.com, iCoin from author Jeremy Mosby. It's an alternate reality, and the leader of the planet iCoin is none other than Benjamin Franklin. When corrupt officials threaten not only iCoin but the Earth as well, an unlikely chosen one, Jeremy, must face dark foes to save the Earth and iCoin alike. Author Jeremy Mosby takes readers on a superhero's adventure through this compelling and imaginative alternate universe. Get iCoin on Amazon.com today.
Experience Samara's adventure as she imagines the people around her change into friendly cartoon animals right before her eyes. Journey with her in this poetic tale, My Cartoon Imagination at School.
And that was shorter than I wanted it to be. And then things started dinging at me right as I did that. So there we go. And then Melanie was eating. I was hoping to get, so I had her solo just in case we get her like stuffing her face with the chocolate that Mark sent her.
Chocolate.
So, yay. So now I have to go over here and continue to be off the rails. Nope, that's not the one I need.
As ever, just staring at me because I'm just, okay.
There we go.